This is Amy Poehler. My new movie, Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, is coming to theaters June 14th, and it's making me feel joy and sadness and anger, definitely some disgust,
Rose,
and I think a little fear.
Really?
But I'm also feeling these new emotions like anxiety, embarrassment, envy, and ennui.
It's what you call the boredom.
Okay, that one was weird. It's going to be the feel-everything movie of the summer. Disney and Pixar's Inside Out 2, only in theaters June 14th. Get tickets now.
Okay, everybody, welcome to the latest episode of All Too Real 2. My name is Michael E. Cullen II, and with me, as always, is...
Sesame, don't talk about extremely bad health concerns in a funny, cutesy way for children's shows, and Carta.
I got one question for you.
Yeah, what's it?
How you doing, champ?
Other than having AIDS, I'm doing great, actually.
You know, the best line in this whole episode is, well, I have AIDS, yep. But other than that, I'm doing pretty good. Yep.
Yep.
So.
Yep.
Yep. Yeah, today on the show, we're covering another very special episode of a sitcom, this time from the 80s, from 1986, this is an episode of the sitcom Mr. Belvedere. This episode aired on January 31st, 1986, and it's entitled Wesley's Friend. And the basic breakdown here from the Internet Movie Database is that Wesley is supposed to play William Howard Taft in a school President's Day pageant, but an opening to play Abraham Lincoln comes up. The boy who was supposed to play Lincoln, Wesley's friend Danny, has been pulled out of school because he got AIDS from a blood transfusion. Not knowing anything about the virus, Wesley believes what his friends tell him about it and becomes afraid of Danny. This was directed by Noam Pitlick, written by Frank Dungan, Jeff Stein, and Gwen Davenport. And the show stars Christopher Hewitt as Mr. Lynn Aloysius Belvedere. Eileen Graff as Marcia Owens, Rob Stone as Kevin Owens, Tracy Wells as Heather Owens, Bryce Beckham as Wesley T. Owens, and Mr. Baseball himself, Bob Uecker, as George Owens. We also have guest star in this episode, Ina Fried, formerly Ian Fried, when this was filmed, just letting you know, but I'm going to refer to her as Ina anytime I mention the actor's name, as Danny O'Neill, the friend with AIDS. So, this episode, initial thoughts here, Sesame?
Just really bizarre. The acting was just out of this world. It's bizarre. I don't even know how to explain it. Like, Daniel has like no personality whatsoever. Wesley also doesn't really seem like he's knows how to act very well, or I don't even know. It was just weird to me.
I think they acted the best they could with what they were given. And I mean, it's a 80s sitcom, so I'm not going to say it. And plus,
yeah,
Bryce Beckham, who plays Wesley, got better as the show went on. This was only the second season. So, they're all good. I mean, and, you know, Bob Uecker is Bob Uecker. So yeah. And then, and Belvedere is Belvedere, Christopher Hewitt. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, the concept of Mr. Belvedere was basically there's this family in America that for some reason have a British butler.
Why not?
Yeah.
Butlers are British, don't you know that?
Yeah, so... middle class thing. And I mean, the character of Mr. Belvedere actually has a long history before this series, there was like movies about the character Mr. Belvedere with other actors playing him and stuff. So it's like, and I think books and stuff too. Like the character is a well-known character, but this adaptation is the most popular. But yeah, I didn't know that either until I was doing research on Mr. Belvedere. So
yeah, that's interesting because in the intro they showed him like in all parts of the world, like traveling and stuff. So,
yeah.
You know, I figured there's something going on with like his character, you know, being kind of like more than just a butler, but maybe he picked that up later on in life or something. Or
yeah, it's the character of Lynn Aloysius Belvedere. He's a fictional character created by Gwen Davenport, who gets a writing credit on this episode, even though she had nothing to do with it except for creating the character. It was for a 1947 novel called Belvedere. Mm. And there are three films with the character starring Clifton Webb as Mr. Belvedere. Called Sitting Pretty, which came out in 1948. Mr. Belvedere Goes to College in 1949. And Mr. Belvedere Rings the Bell in 1951. So,
yeah. It rings the bell?
Well, I don't know.
Oh. No, I do know. I do know. It was a pun.
yeah, it's who knows, really. Yeah. Yeah, I kind of want to go back and watch those randomly just for the hell of it. But,
yeah.
Yeah, and then we had the television series, of course. Yeah, he was like a guy that, you know, worked around the world, different people, and supposedly having once worked for Winston Churchill and stuff like that. So, yeah. But yeah, so yeah, it was during that time in television history where you had like dudes taking care of kids, because you had like Who's the Boss and Charles in Charge and, you know, stuff like that. So, you know, it was one of those many, you know, things where, you know, you have a dude housekeeper or something, or a dude butler taking care of kids and helping raise them, you know. So, yeah.
It was part of the woke agenda even in the 1980s, bro.
Yep.
That was a long plan.
I mean, honestly, if somebody were to like pitch this series today, the right would completely call it woke.
Oh, of course. They'd be like, "Look at the woke agenda, bro. They're having a man take care of kids, bro."
Yeah. It's like, "Oh, they got a man."
I would love that too. Yeah. We have movies like Mr. Dad or Mr. Mom.
Mr. Mom. Yeah.
With Michael Keaton. We had Tootsie with Gene.
Dustin Hoffman.
Dustin Hoffman. You have Bosom Buddies with Tom Hanks and Peter Scolari.
Those, all of those, the Tootsie and Bosom Buddies, I could see not getting made for good reason. Because they were men pretending to be women, but not in a, like, they wanted to be women way. It was, like, more to take advantage of things.
Okay.
Because
they might like that though, because then that proves
they would like that, but I'm just saying it wouldn't fly today because, you know, it's like two guys and bosom buddies trying to, you know, get a deal on an apartment, basically, is what that was about. So,
That's right, brother.
Yeah.
They're trying to take away all this hard earned feminist stuff. Wait, I hate feminism, but right now I love feminism because I hate trans women more than I hate cisgender woman.
Yeah.
So now I'm suddenly on the side of feminism for this particular moment. That's about it, though. And afterwards, go back and fetch me my hot wings in your Hooters dress.
And with both of these, and with both of those projects too, it wasn't like they were trans women. They were just men dressing up like women. Which is a different thing. Yeah.
Well, I knew that about Booker Buddies, but I kind of forgot about Tootsie a little bit.
Tootsie, it was like he was an actor who couldn't get jobs as a man, so he dressed up like a woman to become a star on a soap opera.
Okay. Whatever.
Yeah.
That seems weird. Like, it was easier to get an acting job as a woman than as a man. Okay, fine.
Maybe for him in particular. I don't know. I haven't seen Tootsie in like 30 years, so I don't know. So
okay. Yeah, me too. I mean, I'm drawing a blank on that. Anyway, sorry.
Off track here. So back to this episode here called Wesley's Friend. I think this is one of the weirdest episodes of a sitcom I've ever seen. Mainly the reason that it comes off weird is the laugh track in the weirdest places too. So yeah. And the like off color, not off color, but like weird jokes about AIDS. It's just strange. Anyway, so what happens here in this episode, Sesame?
So Wesley is there. All the students are portraying different presidents of the United States, and he's got Taft, and his friend Daniel's got Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah, yeah, it's Danny. Danny. I don't know if they ever call him Daniel. So.
Oh, sorry,
yeah.
Danny.
No, it's okay.
And so Danny has Abraham Lincoln, but they took Danny out of school because he has AIDS, and they don't know what to do with him, basically, until I guess doctors can figure out if it's safe for him to go back to school and he won't infect all the students and teachers. Back then, they actually thought AIDS was like a plague, kind of like COVID. And if you're just by close to someone, you could just catch AIDS, essentially. Yeah. So, and so there was like this whole thing where they're like, ooh, I don't want to sit next to Danny. He's got cooties, you know, type of thing. But it's like AIDS cooties, basically.
I remember growing up in this time and how everyone was scared, not scared, but are like, there was so many like rumors and stuff about how you could catch AIDS. And it was like, you know, oh, you shouldn't use public toilets because you get AIDS from the toilet seat you know, random stuff like that. Or, you know, and yeah, there's like, it's not as crazy as some of the things that they said in this episode. Like, you could get like the one kid says you can get AIDS by talking on the phone.
Yeah, that was obviously a
the
ridiculous one. But yeah, they said like, you know, eating from the same food, saliva.
Yeah.
You know, passing saliva could get AIDS, which I'm not even sure if that's true or not.
No, it's through like blood and sexually transmitted.
Basically blood and like sexual contact basically is like the only two ways or whatever. And so, you know, Wesley doesn't really understand necessarily like the severity of it. He's like, oh, is he going to be gone for like a week or whatever? They're like, I don't know. And he's like, well, maybe 2 weeks. And he's like, I don't know. Don't really know how to explain this to him, kind of thing. So
yeah, it's like, you know, he says maybe 2 weeks, he's like, yay, you know, he gets off of school for 2 weeks. Lucky guy.
Right.
You know?
And then he just like walks upstairs. Like, yeah. Okay. Wesley's kind of oblivious of a lot of things in this episode. Like again, it just could be the acting. I don't know.
It's pretty much the character. I remember watching the show. He was basically kind of like a proto Bart Simpson or something in a way too. He was kind of like a mischievous kid, but also kind of naive, I guess I should say. He wasn't stupid.
Yeah,
he wasn't stupid. He was naive. So yeah.
Yeah, because he's eating lunch at one point with his friends and they're talking about it, and they all eventually leave the table because they realize that he spends a lot of time with Danny. And then at one point, I guess he gave one of the kids his cupcake, and then the kid gives the cupcake back. He's like, you can have the rest of my cupcake.
Yeah.
And they all leave. And then Wesley's just chowing down on this cupcake like nothing's happened. Like he doesn't even like
think about it.
He doesn't even register the fact that everyone just left the table. And he's just like okay.
So earlier on before this scene or whatever, there was a line here. It says when he was back at home and they were trying to explain AIDS, and he says it's real bad and you get in real bad trouble if you get caught with it. So like shoplifting.
Okay.
So I guess he thought you were stealing AIDS, I guess. Or, so.
Well, you shouldn't say the word trouble because that sounds like.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. And then but in this scene, too, there's one of the worst lines in this whole episode.
Okay.
They're talking about the possibility of Wesley becoming Lincoln in the thing, and he says, if you give me a bite of your cupcake, I'll free ya, to the black kid sitting at the table. So we got racism in the middle of an AIDS episode.
Why not, you know, just add that to it.
Yeah, quite possibly one of the worst lines I've ever heard in a sitcom.
And we have more lines in this movie, in this episode as well.
Yeah, so
they're equally as offensive and weird.
So what happens next here?
So Danny comes over to the house to give Wesley his suit or costume to be Abraham Lincoln. Wesley won't even walk all the way down the stairs because he thinks he's going to catch AIDS from Danny. But at one point before Danny even comes down, they ask Danny how he's doing. And he goes, oh, other than having AIDS, I'm doing great, or something
He says, well, I have AIDS, but other than that, I'm doing pretty good.
It's like, wow.
The thing I find funny about it too is like Wesley's afraid to come down the stairs, but you know his whole family is basically in the living room there, you know, at least half of them, and he's not worried about them getting AIDS. If he thinks,
I don't think he thought it through that far. Yeah, he's like, wait a minute, yeah, because if Danny infects them, then they could infect him. But he doesn't seem to understand that. So you know Wesley's being a piece of shit essentially, and you know wants to distance himself from his friend because he's sick, because that's what you do when you're friends with someone who's sick. You just abandon them, you know, that's what you do. And
of course
which makes sense, because you know Wesley now lives with a family who has a literal butler,
you know,
so they're already thinking themselves as being upper class.
That's why we don't record this podcast in person anymore, because I'm just worried that you're going to be sick.
Yeah, and I'm going to give you AIDS, which I don't have. But
no, I mean anything you have, you know, if you got a cold, I'll get it. If you got, you know,
but if we talk over the phone, I can still give it to you. So you know,
that's why I'm using a microphone and not a phone.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah, it's a little bit different. Yeah. You got a microphone, it's like a buffer between the phone. Maybe I should speak through a microphone through my phone. So two buffers. So I don't give you,
I don't know, they might
COVID or whatever. I don't know, COVID AIDS or COVID AIDS.
They might
whatever.
Cancel each other out. I'm not sure how this works. Yeah. I'm not a doctor.
True, yeah, I'm not sure how this works. And so the black kid renounced his own freedom and then gave the cupcake back to Wesley. So I guess he's back to being a slave. I don't know what's going on with that one. But
Well, he did say if I can have a bite of your bite of your cupcake, I'll free you. So maybe if he lets Wesley eat the whole cupcake, he'll free the kid's whole family.
Okay, that makes sense actually. So we'll figure out the mechanics of this later. But Wesley's being a piece of shit like usual. He won't come down the stairs. He's being really cold towards Danny, which doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to me, where it's like, okay, it's one thing if you think that you're going to be sick because you're going to be in physical proximity to them, but that doesn't really make any sense that you would just be mean to the person. Like, that's like saying, hey, man, like, I'd like to hang out, but you got COVID, and, you know, I just can't risk, you know, having COVID, to then being like, fuck you, you have COVID, you piece of shit. It's like, wait, what? Like,
there were people like,
again, Wesley's like 8 years old.
There were people like that though during COVID too, for different reasons. Like, you know, they'd be, fuck you, you're wearing a mask. I mean, it's like,
well, that's different than
being
mad at someone for having COVID though.
You
know what I mean? Like, whereas this kid's mad at Danny for having AIDS. Like, it's his fault for having AIDS. It's like a moral failure on his part or some weird shit. An 8-year-old has done so many bad things that he caught AIDS. Like, you know.
Yeah, I mean, in a way, it's similar, though, too, because people are just pissed at people for wearing a mask because somehow it affected their lives in some way. I mean, it doesn't make any sense, you know? So, yeah.
I don't like the way you look while you're wearing your mask, bro. Freedom! This country's based on... It's like, okay, but what about, my freedom to wear a mask? Am I not? No, you don't have the freedom. Okay, so I don't have the freedom then, but you're crying freedom, but I'm not allowed to do something that you don't want me to do, and somehow that's freedom.
Well,
that's right, brother.
Most of the time, people screaming freedom only want freedom for themselves, so they don't, you know, and their idea of freedom is that you have to be exactly like me. Yeah.
So they must have loved this episode, probably, from all the jokes and stuff, and in the mistreatment of Danny. So anyway, so Danny, at one point, Wesley literally makes Danny come from the back of the house. Like, dude, like,
to give him the,
like, maybe he does like slavery.
Yeah, so give him the Abraham Lincoln costume, because Mr. Belvedere has a plan. He during this episode, the like B plot is that Kevin, the older brother, is taking home economics for an easy A, but failing miserably. He's trying to, you know, make food and all this other stuff, you know, which is, you know, standard, like, I don't know, gay-coded panic back in the day, you know what I mean? It's like, back then,
because a man
can't do, women stuff.
What are you doing making those muffins, boy?
Yeah.
Being real, man. What are you doing sewing a dress, a skirt. You gonna go out and wear a skirt, boy? I'll show you what's.
The thing is, they played it for laughs, which I think the better way to write this would have been that Kevin was great at all this stuff.
See, that's what I thought they were gonna go with.
Yeah.
At first, and then it was no, everything he does sucks. No,
you have to substantiate the stereotype and keep making it better or whatever. So it's kind of sad.
Well, it's a good thing though, because like, oh whoa, you're terrible at cooking and making clothes. Awesome, that means you're a real man because you can't do certain things, and that's good that you don't have certain skills, because lacking skills is moral goodness.
Yeah, I guess so.
I don't think they really think these things through, but
so basically the reason that that plot it intertwines with our A plot in the fact that Mr. Belvedere has a plan, because Wesley tries to get him he tries to pay him off with a $5 bill. But
exactly.
But basically what he's doing is he gives him a $5 bill as reference to the costume he wants to make, because you can tell a whole costume based upon the bust of Lincoln on the $5. Anyway, so
absolutely. Come on. Mr. Belvedere has worked all around the world. He used to work for Winston Churchill. He's probably worked with dozens, if not hundreds, of rich families. You think this motherfucker thinks slipping him a fiver is going to be like, oh, well, I've got to drop everything I'm doing now to make it cost them.
But also, you think giving him this $5 bill as reference to what Abraham Lincoln dressed like is going to make any difference, because you're pretty sure the guy's smart enough to know what Abraham Lincoln looked like.
That's Wesley for you, though.
Yeah, but anyways, Belvedere's sneaky plan is that he's going to have Kevin make the costume, and then Kevin makes this costume that is like, it looks like something like rejected from Ringling Brothers Clown College or something. It's like somehow this plaid outfit that has a big bow tie in it is what he thought that Lincoln wore.
See, I didn't even understand that part where it's like, okay, I get that he's supposed to be bad at what he does, but there's a difference between being bad at something you're doing and like not even knowing at all what it's supposed to look like.
Yeah, I mean,
like, you know what I mean?
Like, I mean, why would he use plaid material? Why would he, it's just, it's nowhere even near. It's not realistic, but I guess it's a sitcom, so whatever. So then it basically led to him needing to use Danny's costume because there's no other Lincoln costume for kids in the whole city, I guess, and
universe,
at least not that you could get in time. Plus this is pre-internet, you can't go to like lincolncostume.com and get yourself an eight-year-old Lincoln costume online and have it delivered to you next day.
Nope.
I do that all the time, just randomly. I go to lincolncostume.com and I have them deliver me different sizes of Lincoln costumes in case I ever need them.
Wait, do they actually have a website for that?
No, I'm just joking. But
LincolnCostume.com.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I was going to say. I was like, they actually have a website. Wow.
I don't know. I wonder if there's a website.
That'd be awesome if they do have.
I wonder if there is a website called LincolnCostume.com. Lincoln. I wonder.
That'd be awesome. They just have like a reserve of Lincoln costumes that they can just they could just rent out to people and sell. That would actually be a good money-making scheme. We should do that. We should do LincolnCostume.com, buy a bunch of cheap material, and have Kevin.
I typed it in. It says, we're having trouble finding that site. So I don't think it exists. So no LincolnCostume.com. So we can maybe buy the website. Anyways, so, and just have it redirect to all2real2.com. Yeah, he does this backdoor, drug exchange to get his costume. And he's just like, he says, he gets all upset, he says he can't hang out with him anymore and stuff like that, because Wesley's all like, scared of Danny's AIDS. And he says, it's not my fault you got AIDS.
Yeah, I love that. It's not my fault you got AIDS. And Danny's like, yeah, it's not my fault either. And then he's like, oh, yeah, I guess you're right. I'm like, yeah, of course he's right. What do you, like, you actually thought for a moment that it was his fault that he got AIDS at 8 years old? Really?
Yeah. Well, you know,
okay,
that's what eight-year-olds do. They just go around and they get AIDS.
Right.
Yeah.
And there was also a C-plot as well, where for a while they were worried that Wesley might have AIDS too, because they were saying like, oh, when they're roughhousing and getting scratches and blood and all over each other. I'm like, what are they playing? What are they doing? Where they're like getting all bloodied up.
And they're trying to figure out more stuff of this. And then George is looking up AIDS in an encyclopedia that was printed in 1957.
Yep.
Because,
and then he goes, oh, well, they should have planned ahead. I'm like, okay.
And this is an adult.
This is an adult. This is fucking Euchre here.
This totally explains to me why Wesley acts the way he does, because he real obviously takes after his father.
Yeah. And how can you do the Euchs so wrongly like that? Come on. It's the Euchs, like Mr. Baseball.
Yes.
Smart guy. He's always got sarcastic remarks at the helm, at the ready.
And
come
he's,
on. Like,
I mean, he's still like that, and he's in his 80s. So.
Right. But I'm saying, don't make him stupid. Come on. You can't do that to the Euchs.
Yeah. He,
I don't know why I keep calling him
Euchs. Did you know that he got the name Mr. Baseball from Johnny Carson?
I keep calling him the Euchs. No, no, I didn't.
Yes. So
that's kind of cool.
Yeah, I didn't know that either. I guess he was introduced on an episode of The Tonight Show as Mr. Baseball. So that's how he got the nickname. So anyways, they end up hatching a plan that they're going to sneak Danny into the pageant, you know, even though nobody wants him there because of his AIDS. The parents all, you know, are being bigoted assholes and stupid and, you know, not
your fault. Yeah. Fuck you, you stupid child.
So.
Sorry.
Yep. That's basically how they are. And so they have this plan to sneak. It's like we can sneak you into the pageant just the same way that, you know, we snuck to see Porky's at the movie theater. It's just
like, what the fuck? Like, yep.
Kids should not be watching Porky's, just telling you. But anyways.
No, they should not, especially at like 8 years old or some shit like that.
I mean,
why would you even need, at 8 years old, you shouldn't even be interested in Porky's to begin with.
You shouldn't be. Like, I mean, why would, I mean, you're not like, you haven't hit puberty yet and you're not, you know, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe just because it was forbidden.
Yeah.
That could just be it. Not really because you actually care about what's in the movie, but just like, oh, I'm not supposed to watch this, so I'm gonna watch it type of thing.
I mean, because honestly, I would have written the line as like, you know, seeing like a R-rated action film. That would be more something a kid would,
you know, something like that. Whatever. Who cares?
But anyways,
the way they wrote this episode, so fucking bad. Because I remember this show, I used to watch Mr. Belvedere a lot.
Yeah, me too.
And when I was a kid, especially when I would have sick days,
mm-hmm.
I would watch rerun Mr. Belvedere. I remember that show being a lot more sophisticated than this particular episode. So I don't know what they did with it.
There is another, if I can find it, because I had to find this on YouTube because it's not really streaming anywhere for free. You can download it, but somebody did upload it to YouTube. There is another very special episode that we may cover in the future of Mr. Belvedere, and we'll see if that one's written just as badly or not. So, he ends up sneaking him into the pageant. He goes up on stage to do his Lincoln thing, Wesley does, and then he says, you know, my friend Danny should have been this and blah blah blah, and he goes up, you know, and brings Danny on stage and wants him to say the Gettysburg Address, but Danny doesn't know the Gettysburg Address, so he says some other quote from Lincoln or something. And my thing is I think they just didn't have time for him to recite the Gettysburg Address in this 22-minute episode. So
they're like, yeah. What I like too about that is the idea that they have to sneak him in. Like, what? Do they got armed security here at the elementary school to make sure, like, they have a picture of Danny? Do not let this boy in or whatever. And then, like, so too, that's part one. Part two is when Danny shows up, all the kids who are mad that Danny is, they start rushing towards Danny to like make him leave, but it's like, but you're afraid of being close to him.
Yeah, and then
so by your logic, you're gonna catch AIDS by being close to him.
The one kid on stage who's near him, you know, like at the one point his mom's like yelling, it's like, get away from him, he'll give you AIDS or whatever. It's just like
it's like I almost wish at that point that you could spread AIDS that way just to give her AIDS. Like, you know, it's like, fuck you, bitch.
My thing is, like, that's the other thing you bring up, like, you know, how are they protecting the school from sneaking him in? You know, is there, instead of having a metal detector at the door, is there an AIDS detector at the door or something? You know, like, I don't know.
Have a picture of, like, do not let this boy enter the, oh my God, this episode is fucking weird.
So after the thing, and, you know, him being, you know, Danny being defended by Wesley on stage and stuff, and everybody's going home or whatever, and they're sitting up on the stage just talking, and they're dangling their feet on the stage, on the front of the stage, and, you know, Wesley says, this is kind of like fishing, you know, blah, 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 and then Danny mentions he's never been fishing, and then they talk about Gettysburg, and they're going to basically make a bucket list before that word existed of all these things that they want to do together before Danny, you know, kicks the bucket.
I know, just like assume he's gonna die.
I know, that's what I'm thinking. I don't know, but anyways, so they.
No, that's what we're doing. They, I know, doing that.
So
at they, one point they said, oh, "Go ahead."
Sorry. No, I was gonna say they end up going to Gettysburg with like Mr. Belvedere or something, into an amusement park or something. So yeah, and
It was only 70 miles in the opposite direction, but it was close enough or whatever.
Yeah. Like... And the other thing too, so this is such an important episode. Danny's such a good friend to Wesley. Guess what happens here?
Oh, I'm guessing that he never showed up ever again.
Right.
In the series.
He's in that. Okay, I figured that. He's off in that magical land with TJ's friend Karen from the Smart Guy episode that we watched.
Yep. Hopefully she didn't got AIDS either. You know.
So yeah, it's a one and done, you know, acting performance by Ina Fried in this episode, and that's it. So yeah, it's just like,
I just don't understand why they would do things like that, where they would establish that this character has a close friend, and then that friend is rarely ever, like, I can understand if it's like an acquaintance, someone you know at school,
yeah,
something like that, but it's supposed to be your best friend, and they're hardly in the show. It just, like, so at what point are they ever spending time with this friend or associating with them, you know?
We never saw Danny before this or after this. It's like,
oh,
Danny exists in the vacuum of this episode, and that's it. You know, it's like,
That's it. Maybe Danny died for me.
That's what I'm wondering. Did Danny die, or did Danny just, like, get so pissed off at this town for being mad that he had AIDS, and he made his parents move him to a different city?
They moved to a more tolerant city. Yeah. Yeah. Like, all right, well, fuck. We're moving to, like, you know, Chicago or some shit or whatever.
Yeah.
Probably not. Chicago wouldn't be any better.
Yeah. But... at that time, I don't know what would be better, honestly. So, yeah.
I don't even know if any city would be better. Yeah.
So, any final thoughts here on this? Because I mean, that's pretty much what happened.
Not really. This was just a goofy-ass episode. Just totally bizarre acting. The jokes fell flat. There was weird laughter tracks. The way they talked about AIDS was so inaccurate and weird. I don't even know. It was one thing, too, to, like, do that, to portray, like, the people who think that way as being stupid. But it actually seemed like the characters themselves actually thought these things. Like, you know, so it's like, what message is this episode even trying to convey? I honestly don't even know what it was trying to say.
I don't know. I mean, it does have the distinction of being like the first sitcom to tackle the AIDS crisis at the time. So,
okay,
at least it's got that, but it could have been done a little bit better. One of the, I was listening to I found on YouTube during the pandemic, the surviving cast members of Mr. Belvedere, all of the main cast are alive except for Christopher Hewitt, who played Mr. Belvedere. They did a Zoom reunion thing where they were taking questions from people and stuff like that. And they talked about this episode in it. And they said, I guess one of the producers or something on the show had a child that got a blood transfusion and got AIDS from a blood transfusion and died.
Oh, wow.
So that's why they wanted to tackle this topic. But it's still, they could have done it a little bit better.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's, you know, it was still like the early stages of AIDS too. So like people, you know, now people live healthy, full lives with AIDS or with HIV, you know, so it's, yeah. And that's the other thing too. It's like, usually you have HIV before you get AIDS, so.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, too. I mean, this went on for a while, because I was in a freshman in high school in 1998 through 1999, and I had a health class in 98 just for one semester, and my health teacher literally said that there are people who will go to dance clubs, and they'll inject you with something, and then it will say, like, congratulations, you have AIDS, or something like that. Like, and this was, like, conservative propaganda, where they say gay people would intentionally give you AIDS, because back then they believed, like, AIDS was, like, a gay disease, essentially, or whatever. And so they believe, oh, you're gay, so that means you must go to dance clubs because you're gay, and you also must have AIDS because you're gay, and so you're going to go to dance clubs, and you're going to infect straight people, because if everyone's gay has AIDS and every gay person goes to dance club, then that would ipso facto mean that every single gay person in there has AIDS. So the only person that you would need to infect would be straight people. But if everyone who goes there is gay, then how would you find straight people to infect with AIDS?
Yeah, I mean, bigotry has had this, like, this history of never making sense.
It doesn't make any sense that give it 2 seconds of thought.
Yeah.
But yeah, my health teacher literally told us this, that this is something they do. Well, that they'll have like a pin cushion or some kind of thing, and they'll stab you, not stab you, but they'll poke you with the, you know, whatever.
Yeah, like, I mean, I used to remember people would say stuff like that, like there'd be like a pin that they put on the on a toilet seat, and then that would somehow infect you with AIDS or whatever. And I've heard it from different diseases from time to time. Like you sit down on the toilet seat and you get it because of that, or you just get it because you're sitting on the toilet seat. But there's also I've seen things even recently about different things, like, well, you're gonna get infected with cancer, which you cannot get, and cancer cannot be
infected. Yeah.
People are saying you can get injected by cancer because people are hiding needles on gas pumps and stuff. I mean, because there was rumors back in the day, like when Bob Marley was around, that he was like he put a tennis shoe on and he got poked with a needle inside the tennis shoe, and then that's what gave him the cancer that killed him.
No, that's not what gave him cancer.
No, yeah.
Yeah, I remember that weird. He was playing soccer and then he got a toe infection or some bullshit.
And then ended up just, metastasizing to the rest of his body and stuff. So yeah, it's like, yeah. But yeah, so because that's not how cancer works.
No.
Yeah. But anyways, I think this was just a weird episode of a TV show. It's definitely unique. I don't remember any other AIDS episodes of a TV show being like this. But this one walked so other ones could run, I guess.
This one walked so that the Degrassi High one could be more serious.
Yeah. Oh boy. Or the Walker Texas Ranger episode where I think it's like Haley Joel Osment has that famous line. I think he's a little boy in it, and he has a line where he says, "Walker told me I have AIDS."
Sorry, it's not funny, but
it is out of context.
Yeah.
I just remember seeing that clip time and time again. Pretty sure it was Haley Joel Osment or something. Yeah. There's that. Anyway, so folks, if you want us to do any more very special episodes, just let us know. Message me at mike@cullenpark.com. Follow our social media. We're on Facebook. We're on the X still, kinda. Either through All Too Real 2 or through Cullen Park Productions. You can find us everywhere. Be sure to check out our TeePublic and our Patreon. We've got some new things up on Patreon. I've been trying to edit it and update it a little bit lately, so check that out. Be sure to like the show, give us a 5-star review anywhere you can, and share it with all your friends. Share it, and just so you know, you can catch our show just like you could possibly catch AIDS. And no, I'm joking.
No,
no. It's not as easily. See, the thing is our show is not as easily spread as people thought AIDS was. So, make sure you spread it wide and far.
Yes.
So, anywho, just remember one thing, that I love you. Danny has AIDS, but other than that, he's doing pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good, I should say. Sesame for sure loves you. And until next time, bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to All Too Real 2 Podcast, a Cullen Park production. Produced and edited by Michael E. Cullen II. Music by Matthew Hawes. Subscribe and share the show. Visit us at cullenpark.com.